Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to welcome back as our special guest, my friend and colleague from the Department of Psychiatry at the Health Sciences Center at the Medical School, Dr. Sarah Wakefield. Sarah, welcome back to Faith Matters.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
For the sake of our listeners this Sunday afternoon, mental illness, mental health, where are we at in terms of our understandings of how the mind works, and especially in terms of the total human experience?
You know, I think we're a lot further than we have been and not nearly as far as we want to be. We have, over the last decade, had so much research about brain development, what's happening in the brain, how vulnerable the brain is to the environment, especially while developing as a young child. And so we have a lot more information about how important that family unit is to brain development and connection and the relationships that you have as a young child, but also as you grow up and as an adult, that those relationships can really guard against much unmasking of genetic vulnerabilities and also support good response or support healthy responses to unhealthy circumstances like trauma.
The reintegration of body, mind, and spirit in our understanding of mental illness is not something that's put away to a side with a stigma. It's now part of the total human experience. Where do you see the progress there, Sarah?
Just thinking about how we're teaching our up-and-coming psychiatrists and our pediatricians to formulate the experience that, per se, a youth is having with mental health distress. We talk about it in what we call a biopsychosocial framework. That's what we want to hear about. We don't want to hear just what symptoms they're having, but what biologic susceptibilities do they have? What family history is there? Also, what protective factors are there in that biological and psychological and social construct? And that all of those are important domains for intervention.
Is there still a stigma issue where a family is experiencing mental illness, at whatever stage the illness may express itself?
I do think there's still stigma. I think it's lessened, and I think that's through the efforts of so many nonprofit organizations, the OK to Say program and campaign efforts.
Tell us about OK to Say.
OK to Say. It's just what it says, actually. It's OK to say if you're not feeling well. It's OK to say if you have a diagnosed mental health condition such as depression or anxiety or schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or PTSD, trauma-related disorders. It's okay to say. So really important to get that message out that it's not only okay to talk about what's going on with you, it's okay to get intervention, what you're feeling, and also what you need.
See, in my own particular experience with mental illness, I like to claim that I was belonged to the initiative when there were two psychiatrists in Lubbock, and I want to call out their names, Dr. John Miller and Dr. Dick O'Loughlin, 60 years ago, the pioneering psychiatrist in Lubbock. My own involvement in the field, and it's to delight my heart what the initiative you brought, the energy, the vision you have brought at so many levels to our community, Sarah, in your time here, and to see what's happening now as opposed to what was happening several years ago. We have come a long, long way, and it's okay to say. So what would you say to our listeners this Sunday afternoon in terms of if some family member has experienced mental illness? What would you say?
Well, I would say it definitely is okay to say, and it's important to say. It's important to say as early as possible. One of my commitments is trying to put programs in place where we can intervene early, because that is how we intervene less. As a community, can wrap our arms around people who are struggling with mental health distress, because it's many, many of our community members. It's the most common diagnosed illness as a group when you look at the nation as a whole. Death by suicide is the second leading cause of death for 10 to 34-year-olds. This is a crisis in our nation and in our state and in our area. And it is okay to say. It's absolutely necessary to say. I think that's the message that we want to keep talking about.
Yeah, that's so important. Looking at our community as we exist today, and I know that Dr. Nancy Trevino will be talking about the most recent Meadows report. But before getting into the Meadows report, looking at one of the statistics that came out of that, which you knew already, that for adults are concerned, 53% were treated in Lubbock and 47% of people needing emergency treatment for mental illness had to go elsewhere. But for children, 100% had to go elsewhere. What you see is improvement in that area.
The first thing to note is that the community of Lubbock and of West Texas knows that this is a problem. And one of the things that the Meadows report did that Dr. Trevino is going to talk more about is that for all of us who are intimately involved in the mental health arena, none of the Meadows report was surprising to us. However, it did give some concrete guidance on where to go first. And one of the issues with mental health, it's so big. It touches so many things that to say how to improve mental health, it's such a big question. And I'm so appreciative of the community entities that came together to produce this report and this community needs assessment, because it did give us some actionable, concrete steps on where our biggest gaps are and where to go. And what I know about the people of West Texas is they want to take care of the people of West Texas. And now that we have some concrete actionable steps, we have a lot of great entities, a lot of great people stepping forward to try to address those.
What excites you most about the changes that are happening in the here and now?
That they're real and that they're actually making people's lives better. It's an exciting time.
In your time in psychiatry, I know your specialty and your passion is taking care of young people, but what is the most exciting development you have seen in the last couple of years in the overall mental health field?
There really are so many. It's hard to say, but the most exciting thing to me, the collaboration and the recognition that it's not just about a medication that you write. It's not just about one single interaction that you have with someone. It really is about relationship. As we're building that framework from the hospital level, from our education with our residents and our medical students, and just as a community at large, that is the most exciting thing to me, that we are getting it, that this is about relationship, relationship to self, relationship to your family, relationship to others, relationship to your community. That's where mental health lives, in the relationship.
And of course, you know, the fancy term is recovery capital. I love that, especially in the, it came out of the mental health field and has been very successfully adopted by the dealing with people with alcohol and other drug problems. But recovery capital, what does that mean to you?
Moving from the concept that any recovery, whether it's from surgery or whether it's from a mental health distress, whether it's from a substance use behavior, that recovery is not done in isolation. That recovery is done together.
At this point, we'll take a short break and we look forward to having conversation with your colleague in a few moments. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. If you're just joining us, we are talking this Sunday afternoon about the challenges of mental illness in the Lubbock community and people who experience this particular illness, their families, their friends, the community at large. Sarah, would you introduce our next guest, your colleague?
Absolutely. That's certainly my pleasure. So next, we have the privilege of having Dr. Nancy Trevino join us. She is the director of the Texas Tech Mental Health Initiative. This is an initiative that lives in the Department of Psychiatry, but really represents what is going on in mental health care, mental health research, and mental health initiatives across the Health Sciences Center institution, also on the Texas Tech University academic campus, but also at the community at large level. Dr. Trevino has a huge role, and we are so excited about her expertise and passion to bring all of these entities together and make the path forward easier for us all.
Dr. Wakefield gave you a very beautiful introduction, which, from my knowledge of your work, is truly merited. So you're from La Mesa.
I am. I'm a West Texas girl, born in La Mesa, and then I came to the big city of Lubbock for school. And this is where I've had my family and been here for the last 20 years.
How wonderful. I know you've done many, many things in the community, so that you're not just a talking head. What have you done in the community You did your doctoral studies, you told me on the way in.
I did my doctoral studies on youth in the foster care system, looking at some of their strengths and challenges, and then looking at some of the ways that we could improve the foster care system and services that we provide those foster youth, especially as they transition to adulthood.
Thank you for this. So as you look at the Meadows report, from your perspective and the work you have done, your personal and professional experience, what strikes you about the Meadows report? And then if you will relate it to how it connects with the work you're doing right now.
One of the biggest things that the Meadows report found was that we have a lot of great things happening in Lubbock. We have coordinated effort, or we have collaborations, really. We have a couple of people that are working together, whether it's entities, organizations, departments, community organizations, groups across Texas Tech, with our local hospital systems, with our local mental health authorities. Our system really lacked coordination. That meant we had some duplication of some things, but we also had some pretty big gaps in areas that nobody was working in that were really important to the continuum of care.
So then as you look at your own particular work, filling the gaps, help us to understand it by sharing a little of the work that you do.
Well, thank you for giving us the opportunity to share about the Texas Tech Mental Health Initiative. As Dr. Wakefield said, is housed in the Department of Psychiatry, so we get to work very closely with Dr. Wakefield in the projects that are happening across the community. She is a great clinical coordinator for us and gives us a lot of clinical advice about best practices and making sure that evidence-based practices are implemented in all of the programming that we do for mental health across the community. My role in that is to make sure that we have included our community agencies and organizations that are working in mental health care, whether it's substance use disorder, whether it's working with those individuals that are involved with the justice system, or even our children and our families, and making sure that those individuals are brought to the table and we can really have a robust mental health care system that is not just Texas Tech, that is not just UMC or Covenant or StarCare. It's all of us working in coordination together to provide the best mental health care possible.
Now, you work with counselors and you also work with pediatricians. You work with everywhere where younger people are seen. I know it's adults too, but in terms of caring for the children, if a pediatrician needed a consult, how could that pediatrician access an appropriate referral, an appropriate someone to do further evaluation?
We have some really great initiatives, and I think Dr. Wakefield will talk about them here in just a little bit, but we have some stuff that is funded through the Texas Child Mental Health Care Consortium that are really great resources for our community. Part of what I do is make sure that our community entities, our school districts, our school counselors, even some of our practitioners in the community, like our LPCs, and especially those that are working in training, our LPCs in the community, are aware of some of these services that are available to help them.
Could you describe typically, Nancy, what you would do with, say, with a licensed professional counselor or a counselor in the school system? If he or she needed some guidance and direction, how might a typical interaction with you go?
One of the things that is really great about being in the Department of Psychiatry is we have a really robust team of individuals that do a lot of different things. So we have people from counselors, licensed clinical social workers that are working with some of our programs. And then we also have psychologists and psychiatrists. So we have a team that really assures that the individual gets to the appropriate care at the appropriate time.
Despite all of the wonderful advances in communication and media, how do you get out the word of what you can provide for our community?
A lot of what you can do to get the word out is really individuals promoting it. People that are really passionate about mental health care, talking about these initiatives that we have going, helps people trust them and be willing to utilize them. Building those relationships with our practitioners. A lot of what I do is working with the community. So those individuals that are not affiliated with the large practice, making sure that they know the resources that are available to them and that the community knows that they're also a resource to help them too.
Tell us about a typical community interaction with a particular group that you've had, if you can name it, and just so that our listeners can identify precisely what you're doing.
Definitely. The United Way is one of the organizations that I work with on a pretty regular basis. You talked about being in Lubbock before having this job. I worked with them in other capacities as well with their program review, and I was familiar with several of their 23 partner agencies that they help support. And one of the things that we've been able to do now, the United Way in conjunction with the Texas Tech Mental Health Initiative, is develop a community work group that is looking at mental health And so that allows us the opportunity to do media blurbs, social media infographics, so that people have access to the resources that are available. We also kind of bring awareness. There's Mental Health Month and things like that, that we can share the trends and our local numbers of people that are experiencing those, so that it's not a problem that happens over there. It's a problem that many people face, and those people are oftentimes members of your own family.
In terms of the different agencies that fall around the umbrella of United Way, is there any particular agencies that you've had some really impactful recent contact with?
Yes, definitely. I would love to brag on Family Counseling Services. They are a organization that's funded by the United Way in part, and they provide counseling services for individuals who are at risk or have experienced human trafficking. They also provide counseling services for individuals who are uninsured or underinsured. So nobody gets turned away. And depending on your resources that you have available to you, it may be $20 or $40 for you to utilize mental health care services at that agency because of the support through the United Way.
What kind of doors can you open?
One of the biggest ways that I can help people access services is connecting them to the appropriate referrals. There's so many levels of care, and depending on what challenges you're facing, it may be talking with somebody, it may be medication, but there's a wide spectrum in between those two.
As you look to the present and to the future, what are you most excited about personally and professionally?
I'm really excited about being a part of something that's going to live beyond me. It's a better healthcare system that people will be able to utilize, because hopefully through our awareness and education with the community, it'll become less stigmatized. And so it's just like you go to the doctor when you have a cold, you go see a mental health practitioner when you're not feeling well.
Nancy, it's been an absolute delight having you with us this Sunday afternoon, and thank you for the service to the wonderful agencies and individuals that you help. May you be prosper and be well in the work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity to be with you today.
At this point, we'll take a short break, and then we'll continue with Dr. Wakefield in the final segment of our program this afternoon. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. If you're just joining us this Sunday afternoon, we're in wonderful conversation about exciting new developments in the care of individuals, families of our community as we deal with mental illness. We welcome back for this final segment Dr. Sarah Wakefield. If you're just joining us, she's chair of the Department of Psychiatry at TTUHSC at the Health Sciences Center in the School of Medicine. Sarah, Nancy and yourself have painted a picture of a changing scene in Lubbock in terms of people who experience mental illness and of their families and of the community at large. What are some of the initiatives that are currently, that are new, that are happening, and the source of them that you'd like to share at the beginning of this segment?
Yes, there's actually a lot going on, and it is a very exciting time. So as a follow-up to the Meadows Mental Health Policy Institute needs assessment, there were six entities that came together to fund that needs assessment for our community. And they were University Medical Center, Covenant Medical Center, Covenant Health System, the City of Lubbock, Lubbock County, StarCare Specialty Health System, and Texas Tech University and Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. What those entities agreed to after the Meadows report came out was to found a collaborative, and we've named it the West Texas Mental Health Collaborative. That group is meeting monthly, at least monthly as a large group, with the major players. The mayor is there, our county commissioners. It is a group of decision makers, of impact makers for our community. And out of that group, we have had committees form that really target the needs identified in the Meadows report. One of those is a crisis assessment team. So on this, we have judges, we have the chief of police, we have the sheriff, we have the hospital administrators who see people in crisis coming together to say, how do we make a crisis response system that serves the patient, that serves the sufferer?
I have a crisis situation at home, beloved family member who maybe suffer some schizophrenia or some significant mental illness. He or she is in crisis. Typically, you call 911 and the police officers would try to intervene and do the best they could. What improvements have you specifically can we expect in that way?
Well, I can say that there have already been significant improvements in our community. The police force has done an admirable job of certifying mental health police, mental health peace officers, to help train and to help respond. And so there are more well-informed police officers out there to understand how to respond to a mental health crisis differently than another emergency. Secondarily, we are seeing collaborations between our StarCare specialty health system, our local mental health authority, and the police and the sheriff's office looking at ride-alongs. And the goal would be to get to a different number or the same number where you could have a mental health professional respond instead of a police officer.
Tell us what a ride-along is.
Where a social worker or a mental health clinician of some sort is riding along with the police. And so they can help navigate resources that exist in our community, getting somebody to the crisis care that they need without a stop at jail, hopefully without a stop in handcuffs, those types of things. It's innovative. It's fantastic.
Sarah, in terms of what's happening at Covenant in terms of meeting the need, like we identified in the Meadows report, 100% for critical care for children in mental illness out of town. Tell us the new exciting plans that you're so involved in with your colleague, Dr.
Thompson, a saint for sure. I will support her sainthood when it comes time. So there are lots of great things at the state level that are going on for children and youth with mental health distress and mental illness. And I'm happy to talk about those projects as well. It is just amazing what we are looking forward to, our collaboration between Texas Tech Health Sciences Center and Covenant Children's Hospital. The goal, and we are well on our way, is to build a relational health unit. That's how we refer to it. We looked all over the country for models and we found pieces of models and then everyone telling us, yes, that's a good idea. But this truly will be the first continuum of care model. The goal is for a family in crisis, have a youth member in crisis, that they have a place to go to immediately who can help do an appropriate risk assessment, but also say, what kind of services do you need this moment? And have that entire continuum of services available. Do you need a parenting group? Do you need outpatient therapy? Do you need a day treatment program or intensive outpatient program where you're there several days a week and it's more therapy-based? Do you need to see a psychiatrist for a medication question? Do you need an inpatient unit? It is very exciting. And like I said, we feel like this is an innovative project that will become a model for not just our area, not just our state, but for the country. And I'm so very grateful to have Dr. Thompson's support and leadership on this. Our plan is for it to transcend Texas Tech Health Sciences Center and Covenant Children's and really bring in all the amazing expertise we have across the campuses and in our community, so with collaboration with StarCare Specialty Health System as well, so that we can provide a robust continuum of services. But it's really a one-stop place for families, so they don't have to spend their time navigating the broken system that we provide and we offer them and we welcome them into a system that can help. The architects on this project, they know what we're trying to do and they're doing a phenomenal job leading us to something that I think will be just a really fantastic thing for our community.
Sarah, we're coming towards the end of our time together. It has flown, but as you look from your perspective as an educator, clinician, community leader, what would you say to our listeners this Sunday afternoon, the present looking into the future? Tell us what you see.
I see that bumper sticker, lucky me, I live in Lubbock. I feel like that's truer and truer every day. That one of the things that I love about this place is that we are big enough to have really great experts and to have a seat at the big tables and be able to affect change and impact the way things are done. And we're small enough to get all of those people to a table so that we can actually do it. We have some amazing people in our community and at our state level as well that have seen that and have supported us and supported these projects. I think we're just going to keep going. I really, truly believe Lubbock, Texas is going to be a vision and a model for how to respond to mental health distress at all levels.
And of course, the exciting component of that is this excitement, this newness has been shared with medical students, with nursing students, with all the healthcare professionals at the health sciences, and that they being part of this new vision, more than a vision, this new reality, they will carry it with them into the present and into the future in the care they provide.
Absolutely.
To both of you, Nancy and Sarah, thank you so much for being our guests this Sunday afternoon. And what you have shared is inspirational. And we look forward to the present and to the future with great hope and great anticipation of wonderful things to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.